have Brother Lewis come up. Thank you, Lord.
No, it's not. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Penny.
You're welcome.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. I've got a very brief message tonight. It's about an hour and a half, and I will do my best to make it an hour. You know, today, I was preparing for this time tonight. I had a very clear word of what the Lord wanted me to share with you tonight, and about, 30 minutes ago, he changed it on me. So I'm going to, you know, step out by faith and do this and give you what I feel the Lord's given me. You know, yesterday Todd and I had a chance to play golf, and we try to get together, a couple times a month at least, and share notes and everything else. And we've been playing golf a long time, but we've been friends for 35 years. And but we neither one of us had played golf in probably a year and a half to 2 years. And we normally talk about the things of God, but we were so vexed about how we were playing, we didn't talk very much about the things of God. But anyway, I was out there and I was trying to pick a club, you know, everything else. And I said, man, I started complaining. I said, gosh, I don't have the strength I used to have. I can't hit the ball as far. And, you know, I don't hit it as accurate. And man, I just haven't played so long. I'm just doing terrible. And I'm just disappointing everything else. And next thing you know, I heard Todd say, well, that's a really good confession you got there, buddy. He said, and he started mocking me. And he started saying, ain't good the strength that you used to have. And, as I looked, I said, thank you, brother. Point taken. I adjusted my confession immediately. And I just started playing better. And he didn't play much better, though. And then I looked at his golf ball. And on the golf ball was a name. It said Noodle. I said, well, that explains it right there. So, he kind of hit like, I ain't going to say it, but no. But what I'm saying is, your confession is very important. And I constantly watch what comes or listen to what comes out of my mouth to make sure that I'm only saying those things that are edifying, And around my home, I have a rule that I follow is that I have purpose in my heart that I will always treat my wife with kindness. Every day, I look for a way to be kind to her. In the way I watch how I speak and what I say, and I want to make sure that I am speaking to her in kindness. And if I get out a little bit, I adjust myself immediately. And sometimes I haven't even gone to apologize to her. But it's kindness is what part of the fruit of the Spirit. It's real important to me. And then I endeavor to be kind to everyone. I endeavor to treat everyone with respect. And I thank the Lord for the gathering. Since this thing has been started, I have met some wonderful people here that I would have never known otherwise and become friends to me and people that I pray for on a regular basis. And I thank God for them. And when this thing was started and Todd and I got together, God gave me some dreams about something in Todd's ministry and so forth. And we talked about this and we felt that the Holy Spirit, I've shared this a little bit before, that this was of God. This is something that the Lord wanted to birth for the body of Christ, for people to come and to be nurtured and to be equipped and to be released without, any other stuff, all the other trimmings that along with it. And, the Holy Spirit told us that Todd is the one to lead this thing, which has worked out beautifully, and he is an excellent leader and an excellent coach, and we have all benefited from his ministry. Amen?
Amen.
So, having said all that, some of the attributes for this ministry, first of all, is the prophetic. We want the prophetic voice. One of the things that Todd's been ministering recently is hearing the voice of God. How many of you want to hear the voice of God? How many of you think this you're privileged that the Lord speaks to you in your inner man, that you have heard his voice from time to time? And something else too, when God speaks to you, you never forget it. If you get a prophetic word and someone says, by the word of the Lord, or thus saith the Lord, whatever, if it's of God, you will not forget it. And I don't mean to stay with you for years. Isn't that something? And so the prophetic is very, very important to us. Because in addition to you hearing God in your inner man, in your spirit, God also will speak through others to you to confirm or to, if you get a little jammed up, you know, you're having a tough time and you're going through something in your life, others can come and the prophetic anointing that's here and the mantle that's here, well, God will speak to you from time. Well, there have been so many people here that have been prophesied over and have been given a tremendous advantage in their lives because of it. So, amen. So, but there's another area that we want, and I believe this with all my heart, is we want people to be healed. This place is to be a stronghold, a righteous stronghold for healing. Amen. And I really believe in the days ahead, it's going to intensify more and more and more. People are going to get healed more and more. We're going to have dramatic healings, instant healings. Miracles are going to take place. Demons are going to flee from people's lives. Let me read you a scripture. This is one of my favorites. This is in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And we went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Is that not an awesome scripture? And I want you to know, to be oppressed of the devil. You know, you can be a believer and the enemy can come in and try to oppress you. You know, things happen. I mean, life is tough. We can go through trials and tribulations. None of us in here are spared from trials and tribulations. You're going to go through them. Amen. And some of them are horror stories, quite honestly. If people knew what you had been through. But trials and tribulations are going to come. But the Lord will see you through those trials and tribulations. And I thank God that I got people to walk through those things with. Amen. Amen. So healing, not only physical healing, but healing of the mind and healing of the heart. And I want you to know, since I have been here, people in this place have touched me, my heart, my spirit, and I can feel the healing power of God. Because like I said, all of us are going to go through things, and you may hit something that you have, it's unbelievable it happened. And people will oppose you and come against you, misunderstand you, and so forth. You know, Jesus said, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. I used to think, well, that doesn't apply to me. Anyway, but it does apply to me. So healing is important, and we're seeing people get healed and more get healed, and there are people here with the gifts of healing, and we believe in for the gifts of miracles, and also, too, what we want you to know, what Todd wants you to know, is God wants you to know your gifts. He wants you to know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, what your gifting is and what your ministry is. Amen. And if you don't know, you got to seek the Lord until you find it, because your gifting is the grace of God given to you for you to accomplish something supernatural or beyond the natural realm, and where you're operating in the spirit realm. Amen. And so, I'm thinking of Terry and Robert. I wrote this scripture down where it talks about, most of you know it though, it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And it said, the Lord has given gifts, distributed gifts, amen, as he wills. And it goes on and talks about the gift of miracles and the word of knowledge and the gift of prophecy. And it talks about the gift of miracles and it talks about the gift of healing. Amen. And, I remember when I first got saved, I read this book and, you know, this man of God said, listen, he said, and it was all about the gifts. And he said, you know, if you want to desire a gift, desire the gift of prophecy. Because, you know, Bible even makes reference to that. So I said, man, Lord, I said, God, give me, I'll desire the gift of prophecy. And lo and behold, I got it. And I've been able to speak a word over many, many people. But man, sometimes I think, why didn't I ask for the gift of healing? Now, let me tell you how you know if you have the gift of healing, okay? If you have the gift of healing, that's all you'll think about. If you have the gift of healing, that will be your ministry. You may do some teaching, you may do some other things, but generally, if you have the gift of healing, that is your mission, is to see people healed and delivered and set free. Amen?
Amen.
So, it's an awesome gift. And Terry and Robert, the testimony, obviously they have this gift. And I'm not sure what level it's at. They may feel like it's in its infancy stages, but you can see it intensify. Amen? You can see that intensifying. And I want you to know something. Listen to me. If you come to this place, and if you are hurting, if you've got some kind of physical malady, you got some kind of nasty diagnosis or whatever, you need to make a point to get up here and let people pray for you to be healed. And one of the things I've learned over the years is the devil will do everything he can to talk you out of your healing. And, you'll be sitting there and, Todd will say, if you need a healing, please come up here. We'll spend as much time. And I want you to know, Todd will spend as much time with you as he can. I mean, he will go. I've seen him lay hands on people. When Todd's here, prays for you, you're like the most important person in the world to him at that moment. He puts his all in all. And so do other people that are here. They'll put their all in all. You become the focal point. But you'll sit there and the enemy will say, well, you don't bother them. Are you maybe just feeling unworthy? Well, I don't deserve to be healed. I don't deserve, any of this. And I don't want to take up their time and so forth. That's just the enemy talking to you, trying to rob you of your healing. Amen?
Amen.
So the anointing in this place will increase and increase and increase. I'm telling you, I just feel it in my spirit. I know this work is of the Lord. I know that God started this. And if God started it, it's very important to me.
Amen.
And, I mean, at my age, I'm in here, I'm setting everything up early and so forth. And I'm not complaining because it's important to the Lord. It's important to me. Amen. So if I got to work like a donkey, I'm going to do it. Amen. So, but as I was preparing tonight, because I wanted to speak on healing. Because for the first time in my life, I've really got a vision for it and excitement. I've always wanted healing. Don't get me wrong. I've seen people here. I've ministered healing to people. But it was just always kind of a sideline thing for me. But now it is a very, very important thing to me. And I get around Terry and Robert, and they start sharing it. Man, it's, Milton and I will stand back. It's imparted to you. Whatever this, the Holy Spirit has in them, you get around them, it'll be imparted to you. I'll tell you something. Listen, you come here on a regular basis, you're going to find yourself prophesying. You'll find yourself with the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom flowing out of you. You're just going to feel it start happening. There in the Old Testament, if you're familiar with it, it talked about Ahab, and how he was anointed of God and selected to be king. It was Ahab, wasn't it? Yeah. Wasn't it? Yeah, Jezebel's up next. That's the one. Ahab, yeah. Yeah, Ahab, that's the one. And Ahab got around the prophets, and he joined in with them and started prophesying. And they all marveled, said, look, Ahab the king is with the prophets, and he's prophesying. And that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. This thing will get all over you. What's that? Thank you, that's what it was. I knew Ahab didn't sound right. Saul. Brother, thank you for your renewed mind. I appreciate it. So, see, that's what happens when you shoot from the hip in a message. So now, as I was preparing this whole thing, as I was getting all my notes together, I said, man, I'm going to share this and this and this. And like I said, this evening has stopped me. And I put a word on this paper, and it's in great big bold letters. And for whatever reason, I'm typing at a 14 font. And I jacked this thing up to like 2024. And I put it right here. I said, this is important. And all of a sudden, it started eating my lunch because I realized that perhaps this part of this is for me. And it's something God's been dealing with me for a little while here. And if you're his child, he'll deal with you. And this word is obedience. Obedience. Look, I'll tell you, look at Hebrews chapter 1. Obedience. The Bible says, it's a staggering scripture, that Jesus learned obedience by the things he suffered. See, as he came here, the Lord of glory came down as a man. He had to appropriate and he had to set the example just, you know, for all of us. And he understands when we struggle with obedience. Now, Todd was sharing on hearing the voice of God. One of the scriptures he quoted was Jesus saying, "My sheep know my voice." If you are a child of God, you will become acquainted with the voice of God. And so, someone said something to me a couple of weeks ago, a friend of mine, and he said this, and this thing just resonated in my spirit and hit me right between the eyes. And he said, "You know, I don't have a problem hearing from God. What I have a problem is obeying him. Because when you hear and you don't obey, well, you got to figure out why you don't want to obey. What is it that's keeping you from obeying him? And it's usually a very uncomfortable thing. Usually what's involved is some suffering. Usually what's involved is you giving up something that the Lord has been wanting you to give up or get away from or disassociate of. And it could be, you know, a multitude of things. And so let's look in Hebrews chapter 2. This is very important here. "Therefore, we must give more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For the word spoken through angels proves steadfast, and every transgression," and what's this word here? "Disobedience received a just reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to those who heard him? God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his will. For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels." But there's a place where he talks about the Son of God and so forth. So, this, you know, think about this. We need to pay more careful attention. I want you to know something. Listen, as you advance in the Lord, you can't just take it for granted that you're, you know, where you need to be. Because the Lord, as long as you've got breath in your lungs, is going to constantly make adjustments in your life. You may have an attitude that you're not aware of. You may have a haughty spirit that you're not aware of. And I want you to know, God can see you the way you really are. There's, listen, all of us, you know, people say we're like three different people. You know, we're the way, you know, people see us, the way we see ourselves, and the way that God sees us. But God sees everything. Everything is exposed to the Lord, of whom we have to give an account. The secret part of your life that no one knows about, God knows it. And so, as a father, he will chastise us. He will deal with us, you know, to get us free from that thing that we're... And by the way, when he's wanting you to obey something, it's an area that is going to cause you problems. It's an area, a blind spot or whatever, but it's something that he's wanting to set you free and deliver you, because he knows it's going to harm you and it's going to harm people around you. So it's probably an area of the flesh or whatever. So God's going to deal with you to set you free. Now, here's the deal. This is real important, I'm about to tell you. You can feel anointed. You can speak with the tongues of angels and miracles happening in your life. Feel strong in the Lord. You can hear the voice of the Lord so clear. But you also hear God deep in your heart in an area that he's wanting you to be set free of, and he's dealing with you about your obedience. He says, son, daughter, don't do this. Stop this. I want you to give this up. Walk away from this. This is a bad thing for you. And so you may get to the point where you just go, and listen, I'm just going to be honest. I did this. You know how easy it is for me to preach this? Because I've done it. You'll get to the point where you kind of lag in it. And you say, well, you just leave it there. You put it on the back burner, you put it on the shelf, saying, well, I can't deal with this right now. So it's there. But the Lord ain't going to let you go slide on it. He'll keep dealing with you and dealing with you. Then you get to the point where you say, I still feel the anointing. I still feel the power of God. Perhaps he's changed his mind, or perhaps he's given up on it, or whatever. But there's a period of time that God will give you to obey. There's a period of time. Everything will go fine. He'll keep dealing. He'll keep dealing. And he does it so gently, by the way. It's this gentle prodding and so forth. He does it so wonderfully. But then there comes a point to where enough is enough. And then you start seeing yourself kind of fade a little bit. And where it says here in Hebrews 2, we must pay more careful attention lest we drift away. Anybody ever been out in a boat and you thought you were a certain place and you looked out around the landscape around you, you realize you have drifted away? You know, honest, truthful story I'm about to tell you here, I almost died over a chicken leg. Seriously, I almost died. And we had some friends of mine from Charleston. We would go out crab hunting. So we go buy some chicken wings and chicken necks and chicken legs, and we tie them on a string, and we throw them out there. And you just pull them in slowly, and the dumb crabs, they just go after it. And so when they get to you, you grab them with a net. So, I mean, we didn't buy no chicken wings or chicken necks. And I slung mine out, and my hand got free of it. It went way out there, and I thought, I think I can swim and get that. So I dove in the water. I swam out there, and the current was taking me out. And I looked back at the land, and I was so far away it terrorized me, because I'm not a long-distance swimmer. And I was pretty lean back then, and I didn't float. So I swim and I swim, and I got extremely tired. And I wanted to scream to those at the bank that I need help, but I didn't want them to jump in trying to save me and then drown. So I started crying out to the Lord. I said, God, I'm so tired. I said, this is it. I'm about to die over a doggone chicken neck. And I kept moving at the last moment. My big toe caught a rock. And hallelujah, I came in, but I have never forgotten that. I don't know why I shared that, but anyway. Put that on my tombstone. He almost died one day from a chicken neck. Anyway. I was drifting away. I was out there and I was drifting away and didn't realize it. And there came a time in my life, because the Lord has been everything to me, where I suddenly stopped and looked, and where God was, I had drifted away without realizing it. Disobedient. And then you spend your time rowing, fighting the currents to get back to where the Lord. You know the analogy that I'm trying to give you here. Now, and again, we must pay more careful attention. Amen. Because the Lord ain't playing around. All right. Chapter 4, Hebrews. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear of any if you seem to have come short. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. And this is talking about the Hebrew children who in the desert, who hardened their hearts. And the end result, God did not allow them to rest. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. How many of you would like to wander in the wilderness for 40 years? No. So anyway, that's what it's talking about here. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith and those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said, I swore in my wrath they shall never enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for it has been spoken in a certain place of the seventh rest that God took and so forth, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works, and again in a place that said, God said, they will never enter my rest. Now, the children of Israel disobeyed God. And they did something, got to the point where it really, really started to get pretty bad. They hardened their hearts. There comes a place where you can put whatever it is the Lord is trying to get you into obedience on, because he knows it's going to shipwreck you somewhere down the line. You keep putting it off, and what happens is there becomes a hardening in your heart. You start hardening your heart. And the further down the line you go, the harder and the harder. It just keeps hardening and keeps hardening. Till finally what happens is a stronghold develops. I ain't talking about a God. I'm talking about an ungodly stronghold, to where there is a fortress in your life where you, part of you and what you want to do is being held captive, and you're not able to be set free. And when you are under the dominion of a strong man with a stronghold that's been developed in your life out of our disobedience, because this is what the Lord was trying to keep us from, what happens is you lose the place of rest. The Bible says here, there is a rest for the people of God. And that place is a place of peace, tranquility, where you are doing the works of God, but you're at rest. I mean, get amen what I'm saying here. All right, so then I realized, all right, maybe I've hardened my heart here. Because what happens is the power of God in you starts diminishing. The anointing is not the level it used to be. You're not able to go on to the next level because the anointing is not there. And let me tell you something, folks. This is real important. If you want the anointing of God at a very high level for divine healing miracles, to see people see strongholds broken in your family members' lives, as you being one who God uses to break a stronghold, you got to get rid of a hardened heart, because that is a place of rest. In the place of rest in God is absolute victory. In the place of rest of God is absolute freedom. In the place, you know, there was a sister that came here a few months back, and she said something that really disturbed me. She said, well, you know, I've had a lot of things I've been through, going through and everything else, but the Lord's with me. And she said, you know, I like myself. I like what God's doing in me. So let me ask you something. Do you like yourself? The real you, deep down inside, do you really like who you are? And I want to tell you something. If you're at rest in Jesus, you're walking in obedience, you will like who you are, because you will see him in you. And you experience that freedom. But I had to examine myself. I said, man, do I really like myself? And I'm not going to tell you the answer to that. But anyway. But here's the deal. A stronghold can develop in your life. And I don't care how advanced you are in the faith, how long you've been with Jesus, it'll hold you back. And here's the real deal. You can start to the point where you compromise. Will you allow that stronghold to start dictating your life to you? And you may have an outward semblance of being a Christian, but there's no power. So, obeying the Lord You know, I saw an interview recently how many of you know, heard of Charles and Francis Hunter? You know, they've gone to meet with the Lord at a ripe old age. But I listened to this thing, Francis Hunter. I mean, this woman glowed. And by the way, when you obey God, you'll glow. I marvel. I mean, people come, I tell my wife, I says, man, these people that come through this door, they glow. I mean, they reflect the glory of God. Amen. But anyway, what was I saying? Yeah, and Frances Hunter, she said, you know, God has given me a real special area in healing in people with cancer. She said this, and I'm going to, she said, usually all cancer is a demonic attack. She said, because it's ruled, it's incurable. And she says, the Lord has put something on me, I go to the root. And I curse that thing, I command it to leave people in Jesus' name. Ain't no telling how that thing came in, that oppressive spirit we talked about. Ain't no telling how it came in. But she says, we have people get it set free, and they're delivered completely of cancer. Now, you know, there's some theories on cancer. You know, I'm no biologist or anything, but who knows the source or how things are? I mean, I don't know, but I mean, I think I'm just leave that alone. But once she said in that, she said, I look to obey God. Everything, every area of my life, I look to obey Him and hear His voice. And her husband and both of them, 50 years plus ministry, multitudes healed and delivered and set free. Amen? Amen. So, here's the deal. Here's how to get free of a stronghold in your life if you see it. Here's how to get back that place of rest. Here's how to get back the anointing of God. Because I want you to know something. When you're obeying the Lord and walking in obedience, now, don't get me wrong. You're going to mess up every now and then. But what you quickly do is make an adjustment back. If you find that you kind of got away from the Lord and you disobey something, you quickly judge that thing and bring it back in the line. Repent. Say, God, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. Because that's going to happen from time to time. But the thing is, you have a heart of obedience, and you're walking in that obedience, and you're operating from a position of rest. Amen? And what happens is, God says, all right, you've been faithful in the little things, the things I've told you. Now I'm going to give you charge of a big thing, more things, greater things, tenfold things. I'm going to crank up the anointing. And with that anointing, you're going to sense something that is absolutely awesome. You will sense the authority of God. You're no longer going to be kind of wimpy in your prayers and everything. You will command things. You're operating from a position of power. Amen. Power of God and anointing of God, which always goes with authority. You'll no longer find yourself tossed to and fro. You'll find yourself given the commands as the Father tells you, just like Jesus did, and doing them. So, let me tell you how to get rid of this stronghold. It's very simple, but very hard in some ways. Purpose in your heart to unharden your heart. And you can do it. The Lord, by His Holy Spirit, in His loving mercy and compassion, will say, listen, I have never given up on you. I know you've resisted me. I know you've been disobedient, but I've never given up on you. And He gives you the grace to where you unharden your heart. Where the decisions you have made, where you said, oh, I can't give that up, I'll never do that, suddenly what you didn't want to give up, what the Lord was dealing with you, becomes an albatross around your neck. Now, let me go a little further here, okay? God, help us. What will happen and what will set in if we're not careful? is you can develop spiritual leprosy. You can get to the point to where that stronghold is eating away at you and people can feel it and they don't want to be around you. Especially if you've got a bad temper or you're a gambler or you've got some kind of terrible addiction, whatever it is. I got a whole list of them, but I wish I'd have brought them with me. That's the extreme. But the grace of God is here for us. And you have to let the light of God shine in your heart and show you where it is. And for me, what it was, and I didn't know it, and I knew about these things, I've taught about these things, and I didn't know it, is I got wounded. Then in general, this is what happens. Because Christian people can come against, family members can come against you and say the most vicious things. And you, because you're human, you will get wounded. And you don't know what to do with that. And that wound will fester and fester and fester. And so then what happens is bitterness sets in. And then unforgiveness. And then vengeance. Well, you just can see your fist hitting their mouth in such a perfect way with such power. And bitterness, unforgiveness will eat away at you. You'll start having all kind of emotional problems. You know, you're going to go look for a prescription to get on some kind of psychotropic drug. Give me some Valium, give me something. You know, if people get just, it's very easy to get into any kind of addiction. I looked at this thing, they had this psychologist on, it caught my attention on YouTube. And she was talking about, you know, how the addictions and all affect your brain and everything. And, you know, your dopamine levels and all that. It was really fascinating for me. And she was hooked on romance, erotic romance novels. I thought, really? you know, you can get hooked on anything. So, but the Lord is here to deliver us from it. And listen to me. All you got to do in your own heart, in your own place, in your own quiet place with the Lord, ask Him to show you, and generally speaking, you really got to ask the Lord to shine a light on to see if there's any bitterness or unforgiveness in your heart. And as I did allow the Lord to do that, people started coming to me that I thought I'd dealt with and I had forgiven, but they were still kind of tagged to me. You know, it's kind of like a soul tie. I didn't realize it. So I said, oh, God, I had no idea. So I started praying to God. I said, God, forgive me. I forgive them. And the best thing you can do is the person that hurt you and wound you is to pray for them and ask God's blessing on them. And sooner or later, as you keep doing that, you'll be free. That cord will be broken. You start feeling the peace and the rest and the power of God again. You'll be free. And you'll see that stronghold come tumbling down. And you walking in jubilee. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, being here in the atmosphere amongst the righteous, amongst the chosen of God, I feel the life of God from my brothers and sisters in Christ. I feel the love. And wherever area that I may have hardened my heart, praise God, is like a hammer breaking them old hard places that I didn't know were there. So if you and I obey obedience and deal with those things, there's nothing like being in a rest with God where you have absolute peace and absolute joy. Yeah. And you fight from a position of rest. You do warfare from a position of rest. Amen. Amen. Let me, if any of the prophetic giftings in here, you have a word for someone. I got a word for Tara. Yes, your name is Tara, right? Okay. I've been carrying this word around for you for some time now, and I've been praying for you, and I see you on a journey. You ever heard the story Pilgrim's Progress? Yeah. You're the pilgrim. And I see you in the pathway of God. And I see you going from victory unto victory unto victory. In the kingdom of God, you are known as a warrior. You have a warrior spirit. You are a fighter. And you have come across roadblock after roadblock after roadblock. And by the power, the anointing, and the tenacity that you have broken those roadblocks. But in my spirit, I feel there's a roadblock you've come across that's bigger than any you've ever had to encounter before. And I see you standing here trying to figure out, what do I do and how do I overcome this? The Spirit of the Lord says, hold fast. When you've done all you can to do to stand, stand. But I will reveal to you a strategy and the words to say of how to demolish that stronghold. I will give you the wisdom of the ages that I will put inside of you. And as you hold your tongue, I will come a time when I will release your tongue, and I will give you words that will slice and dice and cut that thing free, and you will see that stronghold come tumbling down.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. But praise God. You know how hard it is for a warrior to be patient? Warriors have a sword, and they just want to swing it. But you have held your place with your shield, looking at it with your sword, waiting on the command of God. The Lord says, I'm going to reveal it to you. I'm going to write it right before your eyes and show you what to say and what to do. And it will refute that thing, and it will come down in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I confirm that.
See, there it is, a witness. My good friends, Melvin and Jamie, we've been friends for 42 years, good friends, best friends. We socialize and eat all the time together. We talk about how wonderful you people are. And how many know it's hard to give a word to somebody you really know that close? But I do have something for you, something I've carried inside of me for some time now. I have seen your daughter, the health practitioner. For all practical sense and purposes, she is a physician. She has a desire for people to be healed. She has studied and worked her craft, come up with solutions for people, has enjoyed rewards time and time again of how. But the Lord says she's coming to a place where she will be empty of herself because she's been running and running and running, and she's about to run out of strength. And the great physician says, I'm going to have an encounter with this physician. And I'm going to show her an aspect of things she's never seen before. And she will latch on to me. Her whole perspective, her whole practice will dramatically change. The word of the Lord is a promise to you. She shall be changed. Because God, but also to the Lord, wants you to know this. You have been a reflection. The Lord has reflected you to them, to her. She has seen God reflected through you and you back to her. The Bible says, the spirit of the man is a candle of the Lord. You are the Lord's candles. You let your light shine, and your children are seeing that light. And they try to refute, they try to tell you you're crazy, they try to take you out of balance, but they can't. The lies are coming down. And your whole household shall be saved, says the Lord. Amen. You, sir. What's your name?
Prince.
Prince? Ooh. Hallelujah. Two names I'd like to have. One's Abraham, the other's Prince. God has seen your heart. You're a man who gets on his knees. You're a man who humbles himself time and time again. You're a man who desires above everything else is to obey the voice of the Lord. Amen. God says, I'm going to add to your life. I'm going to add good things all around you. I'm going to add other people to your life. I'm going to add you those who are like-minded. I'm going to use you to impart my glory to them. In the days ahead, healings will come forth from your life. Miraculous giftings will come forth from your life because of your humility. Because God says, I can trust you. I can trust you with these big things. I can trust you. God says, I'm going to give you a real heavy sword. The average person's not going to be able to wield or have that sword. But God says, you have the strength. You have the power to handle that sword, and you'll be able to do much with it, says the Lord, as you swing the sword of the Spirit. And you write the divide of truth from falsehood. God says, I'm going to use you to refute the spirit of this world, the spirit of Antichrist, false doctrines that are out there. I'm going to use you in a very calmly way. You're going to refute those doctrines that people give you, that you hear them. And God's going to use you to absolutely destroy that and to see the folly of their ways. And you'll see them come to Christ in Jesus' name. I see you leading many people to Jesus because of your gentleness. And they're going to come to you and say, whatever it is you got, I want it. Please tell me how to get it. Prince. Prince, amen. My wife calls me Lord Lewis sometimes. She says, oh, Lord Lewis. I say, hey, I like that. Keep that up, woman. That's good. And she said, yo, you just being a smart butt. I said, well, hallelujah. My butt is smart because all of me is smart. So, amen. Anyway, anybody else? Anybody else got a word? Yeah.
I just have one thing that people pray, because the National Day of Prayer is next Thursday from 7 to 8:15 at Irma Town Hall. Pastor Adams is going to be there praying for the lost. Yes. So just keep that in your prayers that the Lord really anoints that and blesses that.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for the scribes of God. Sister, you are a scribe of the hand of the Lord. The Lord has given you a word, and you write down what he gives you. You are known in the kingdom of God by the angels as the scribe of the Most High God. You shall write down truths that will be studied for generations unless if Jesus tarries. Get a hold of your children and others, and they will go, oh my gosh, this is for me. You're faithful in it. Remain faithful in it. Oh, scribe, I tell you, thank the Lord for you. And anybody else? Now listen, you didn't finish on 9:15 yesterday, so I'm just saying here. Yes, yeah, come on, Ralph.
Thank you. Lewis, as you were speaking, I felt the Lord was saying to you, you have been transformed in the last 20 years. You don't know how much that you've been transformed, said the Lord. The Lord has got his eye on you and he's had his hand on you, but there's been a transformation in the last 20 years is what the Lord told me. It's 20 years. And I heard him say, Lewis, you've only got your feet stuck just barely into the water that I'm bringing you into. Even though tonight, even though as you've prepared, even though as you've been ministering, you feel, wow, this is, God said, you have only stepped into the stream that you're going to begin to step into, and it's going to get deeper. And the anointing on your life, says the Lord, is increasing. He's almost like ratcheting up the anointing for the future that he has for you and the word that's coming out of you and the ministry that's coming out of you. Lord said, I've been working on you for 20 years and you are only got your feet wet right now, my brother, and you're fixing to be plunged and God's going to use you. There's going to be some, I hear the word, there's avenues ahead. I don't know where they are. I don't know what they are, but I just heard there's avenues ahead that God is going to begin to use you and begin to motivate you to go down some avenues that you've not gone. But Lord says, I've been working on you for 20 years. And tonight, saith the Lord, you just got your feet wet, brother. It's getting deeper and it's going to get deeper in the anointing. It's going to get richer and more fruitful. And God's hand is certainly upon you, saith the Lord.
Thank you so much. I got that on tape, by the way, so I'll listen to it again. And I wanted to thank Michelle. About a year ago, yes, you.
I want to.
Sure, but let me. What's that?
Can I add to?
Absolutely.
Okay. It's going to go very quickly. Your steps from shallow to deep, because you're at that place now. And when he was talking about avenues, I seen rivers, and that you're going to go into different streams. You're going to have the ability to go not just in this denomination. He's going to open doors supernaturally for you because of who you are. And it's time. It's time. It's time. And you are important. And what you carry is going to help those streams, you know, do their thing. But I seen it very clearly. It was a step, and it wasn't a little. You're going quick.
Is there a spiritual chicken dinner?
You're going quick.
thank you very much. Hey, I wasn't expecting this, but thank you. Somebody's right on the 20 years. Golly, it's been like 40. But Michelle gave me a word at Richard's house when they were having a meeting, and she read my mail. I mean, thank you for your gifting and who you are. Anybody else? Okay.
You opened it up. That's why I came up. So I wasn't trying to. Anyway, I want to, Prince, I want to add to what he would say. I was back here. The Lord is giving you a gift of teaching. You're a teacher. And so the hunger you have to dig into the Word is going to increase. If you find a way the Holy Spirit moves on you, you'll see something, you're like, you'll investigate it, and then you'll tear it apart, and you'll dig down and keep drilling down into it. And God says, begin to start to prepare for this. You have to compile the teachings. You have to have notebooks of teachings. And then you'll minister those in the days to come. There's a conflict within you, and you've been dealing, you know, the Holy Spirit's been dealing with you. You actually have been dealing with the Holy Spirit. You're asking for a refinement because the way the Holy Spirit's training you, he's throwing light on stuff, and you're in agreement. And so, but just be at peace, okay? He's doing the work, okay? These are things you can't do on your own. Okay, because you're trying. You don't smoke cigarettes, okay? But I'm using the cigarettes as an illustration, okay? Somebody puts it down, picks it back up, puts it down, picks it back up, puts it down, walks around, sees a butt on the ground, picks it up, says, I can't believe I just, you know, it's that kind of a thing that, you know, the refinement and the way the Holy Spirit deals with us, he gets us into refinement. And that's the process that you're in. So be at peace, okay? Let the Holy Spirit do it. Because you sometimes we try to hear from God too hard. We're like, you know, I could see just really trying to hear in some certain areas. He's got it, everything in control. It's step upon step, precept upon precept. He has it in control. But that teacher that God is developing within you, you are called into the ministry. You've known this for a long time. And he's just preparing you right now. There'll be opportunities here and opportunities there. Be careful, there are spiritual mules that are around you, okay, that would kick you back, okay? Don't let them do it, amen? You got it, brother, okay? Don't look for an opportunity through man. When the Lord says go, you go, okay? If he opens up, it doesn't matter how small it is, okay? Because these small little doors will open up to bigger doors for you, okay? And that anointing is something that, you know, years ago the Lord was teaching me on the anointing, and he took me out into a field, and there were three birds of prey that were on the ground eating something, okay? And they took off, and each one went way up in the air. And how they got there was different. Each bird was different, but they were using the currents. And he said, that's the anointing. You have something to do with how you use the anointing, okay? Now, a lot of times when you're in ministry, the anointing will come on you, and people, sometimes I watch them and they'll spend it, you know, rather than learning to harness it. And that's really what you're being taught right now, how to harness this anointing that's within you. So you get these little opportunities, prepare those books, keep the notebooks, because you're going to be ministering those messages. Amen. So I just want to encourage you in Jesus' name. Amen. God is so good. Praise the Lord. You know, then when Penny was singing the songs earlier, you know, they were really ministering to you, weren't they? Those little songs, you know, there were messages in those songs. And some of those songs that she was singing, there was an uplifting, you know, because you came in here kind of like this, and now you're going to leave here a little bit higher, because God wants to encourage you. Amen. God is so good. Enemy's a downer. He always tries to discourage us. All right. And this is a pressing enemy that I see comes against you at times, you know, where it communicates to you, and it's communicating something that, you know, doesn't make you feel good. So that's the fruit of that thing. That's not you, and it is not your thoughts. It's something projecting thoughts at you. You understand what I'm saying? The reason why I'm saying that to you is I want you to be able to separate that, okay? Because I know that when that kind of a thing deals with me, it tries to get me to think that that's who I am, or that I'm thinking that. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes I say, you know what? That's not my thought. What do you do? You know? And as soon as I address it, it leaves. You know? Evil spirits are evil. They have no... They're sent, you know, to thwart us, to stop us, to paralyze us. And they are so afraid of you, because you will pray. You're an intercessor, and God will put somebody on your heart, or Jesus is moved with compassion. You're moved that way too, where you just feel hurt. It's like you see somebody just needs an encouragement or something like that, and that's your call to pray. You start being faithful in that intercession ministry, and you're going to see some real breakthroughs over other people's lives. And this is going to really encourage you. You're going to say, man, I've been praying for that individual. Man, there's some good changes in their life. There's been stuff broken off of them. And that's just going to fire you up. And you're going to start praying for people. And you're going to be put in situations where people are in great distress because of some serious things. And you're going to be the one that's going to be sent into their life to not just encourage them, but to pray. But when you pray, you're going to know, I know this is going to work, because the Lord is with me, and the Lord is with you. Amen? So be encouraged in Jesus' name. I like that smile. God is so good. Praise the Lord. Charles and Kathy, I know you're not in the Navy, but you are. Amen? I mean, not in the sense, but you were in the military, but you're in the Navy of the Spirit. And you both have been promoted to admiral today. Now, I don't know exactly what that means, except that you will be in charge of coordinating sorties, where there are missions that are going to go out, where literally I see laying hands on individuals, and they're going to be sent out one after another after another. And God is going to put you on your own aircraft carrier. Amen? But the Lord will also tell you, I am going to deal with any situation in your lives right now that is a source of stress, and you're saying to yourself, we don't know if we have the strength to continue in this particular situation. It's not church related, okay? It's a situation I see that you just don't, it's a strength that's been zapping you for some time. And God is going to refire you. There's a rekindling, there's a quickening in the mortal flesh that's going to take place tonight within you. When you sleep tonight, when you wake up tomorrow, you're going to know that the Lord has touched you in your hearts. And he is strengthening you like Elijah. He couldn't go any further, man. He was just, he had done this tremendous thing, and he was tired, but God sent him supernatural bread, supernatural strength. And that is what God is going to quicken you. He's extremely, I just hear that word, God is so pleased with you both, that you have taken on something that you knew you didn't know if you could even accomplish it, but you did it anyway. And because of your sacrifice, the Lord is answering you tonight with power, with stamina, with endurance. Those that wait upon the Lord shall gain new strength and shall change and have new power. And this is what God is going to be birthing in you tonight. God is very pleased. These sorties are going to be strategic in nature. God is going to give you specifics of what to do, where to go, who to send, due to this, because you're going to be part of a revival that's going to take place and touch not just this region, but also outside into other countries. So just be encouraged. It's bigger than you think. It's bigger than you know, because God says it's time to think even bigger, because you're not thinking big enough. You've seen how the anointing has risen up, but God says, I'm going to take it to this next level. So be ready. You're in the Navy. Amen? God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Be encouraged, Lori. Be encouraged. Amen. Be encouraged. It's like, I see this, it's like you don't realize you just got about five more steps and then you've completed it. You know, it's like the journey, you know, and you've stayed, you've been steady, you've been steadfast, you've been hanging in there. You know, Lord, I'm there, I'm going to hang in there. I'm not going to be bothered by this, I'm not going to be bothered by that. I'm just going to keep going and going and going. And you're almost to the other side. So just be encouraged. Amen. You're doing the right thing. Amen. You haven't letting go. You're doing the right thing. You're going to press in. And the things that you desire, the things that you've been dreaming, God has been stirring you on the inside for evangelism. I mean, he has been stirring. You're waiting. You're like waiting. You're like the person, like these horses, you know, but right before they take off and they're in that horse race, they're bucking up against that gate. That's what God has. That's what he's doing to you right now. He's getting you to buck up the gate because the opportunity will be there. And what you don't realize, you're being trained. You're already being trained for it. And all that's gonna kick in because you're gonna have the word of the Lord is gonna be in your mouth and you're gonna plant seeds time and time again into people's lives. It's already happening, but it's gonna be in a greater dimension. It's something that you know you wanna walk in because it's like you're looking for your fulfillment. Amen. It's not that you're not fulfilled, but you know what I mean? We're seeking for that fulfillment. I know there's something that God's prepared for me. So just be encouraged in Jesus' name. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. And come over and spend time over here. Well, I got you last week, amen. I don't know if I got you or not, but praise the Lord. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I'm excited about what God's doing with you. Amen. I don't know if you have musical talents and abilities, but I see you as a David. And David was beloved of God. Amen. And David had a heart after God. And what God, the Holy Spirit is doing in your life is that the thing about David is what David wanted is what God wanted. That's why he had a heart after God. David had two objectives, to take Jerusalem and to return the ark in its rightful place. And that was God's objectives. And so they were working together as one. And what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life is training you and teaching you to want what God wants. Amen. And God is going to use you very effectively time and time again to take out specific giants. And these giants that are before you are in other people's lives. And I stand, you see, as one that stands in the gap where someone is in turmoil, someone's in trouble, and you are the rescuer that God sends in time and time again. You needed rescuing. And God has rescued you. Well, guess what? Now he's going to send you in to rescue others. You are going to talk them down time and time again. They're going to be losing it, and you're going to be the ones going to be sending to talk them down. Amen? God's so good. I used to work at Epworth Children's Home, and sometimes there would be a student that was just going crazy, and they had to get everybody out of the classroom, and then they sent the facilitator in. That was me. Don't ever take a job facilitator. It means you're just doing everything. Amen. So they send the facilitator and I come in, I gotta talk this guy down. You know? I mean, he's bigger than I am too, and I gotta talk him down. But Lord would use me that way. He's gonna use you the same way. You're gonna talk people down out of doing dumb things. You're gonna remember this because you're gonna know it's gonna pop in your head. That guy's doing something dumb. That must be my call. And they're gonna send you in, and you're gonna have words of peace. To bring peace into a person's life that has no peace. Time and time again, okay? Because God has changed you. You know he's changed you. He's done an inside job. You're not the same person you were a year ago. You really aren't. And that's the Holy Spirit, okay? And he's not going to stop there. He's going to take your training to the next level. So be prepared, okay? And the dreams that you had, even younger, I don't know what your ambitions were, something like that. God says, start dreaming again because I'm going to do it. Amen? God is so good. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. My sister there, you're so sweet. Thank you for coming tonight. Amen. God is so good. Amen. Praise the Lord. God's arms are real long, you know? He says, my arms are not too short that I can't recover. You know, he's able to recover. He's got long arms. And I just see God just recovering some things around you and restoring you and putting you in a place of security. Amen. He talked about the rest of the Lord, okay? And you're going to enter into his rest. You're not being disobedient. You don't have a stronghold like Lewis was talking about, but the enemy would try to put you in one. Amen. And he's trying to get in your mind. He's trying to cage you in your mind. Amen. But in the name of Jesus Christ, that's being broken off you now, because no more. You are free. You are free. You are free. The Lord told me to tell you, I am your rear guard. I am protecting everything back behind. Amen. And just know this, not only will I be able to secure you, I am able to deliver you, says the Spirit of God. I'm able to put my spirit in a greater dimension within your heart, and my strength will come up inside you, and the joy of the Lord is your strength, amen? The joy of God is going to permeate your very existence, amen? Wherever you're going to go, you're going to hear that word joy, but it's not going to come from a man. It's going to come straight from heaven into your heart, because God wants to encourage you and strengthen you. He says, no more in the name of Jesus Christ. I am going to set my servant free. You are free to serve the Lord, and you are free to declare his word. And the thing that the enemy has tried to destroy, and the locust and all those things, and the stripping locust, I will return those things to you, says the Spirit of God, and I will give you dancing instead of mourning in Jesus' name. Amen. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Being pulled over here. Being pulled over here. I don't know where I'm going. We already got words. You got the Pentecostal word. Amen. God, so good. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, Penny, I just appreciate, thank you so much for sharing tonight. You know, I don't even remember the word I had over you in terms of remembering the word, but I do know the sister I met over in South Africa, Fiona, a tremendous teacher. And man, I tell you what, God is going to really be opening some more doors for you, and just be encouraged. You know, just I know it's not been an easy time. You know, you've lost your husband has gone on with the Lord, and that's not been an easy thing for you. Okay, but through that, you have there's some doors that are opening is because of this. You've learned some things through that process, because not everybody deals with loss the same way. Amen. It says in the scriptures that we don't grieve as the world does. Amen. And you've walked through these waters. And even though sometimes they rise up at times and things like that, you are able to process it in a way that is in the supernatural, because God is going to come to you, and the Holy Spirit is the comforter. Amen. But you are going to get a big dose of comfort. Amen. In your private time, in your time when the Holy Spirit visits you, as he so often does, the Comforter is going to come in a waves after wave after wave. It's almost you're going to come out of it and you're going to say to yourself, I have been baptized by the water of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because he is going to submerge you deep, because he wants to speak some things into your heart that he wants you to hear. Amen. And in that time, that hearing ear, that plotting ear, is going to be increased in your life. And these doors are going to open. They're going to be doors that he's opened. Amen. And you will have favor time and time again. So just stay obedient. Amen. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. John and Sue, it's hard for me to minister over you guys because you're so anointed. Just these guys, you guys have the Lord is just all over you guys. You talked about glowing coming in. You guys glow when you come in. And from the standpoint of, you know, when you're doing something in the Lord and you're in war and stuff like that, and I'm out there and I know you're praying for me. And you've said that to me, but you don't understand how important that is for me in my own personal life, to know I'm getting up in the morning and there's somebody out there interceding. And you're submerging yourselves in a work, because there's something else that's about to take place. And I believe the Lord is showing you this. I believe the Lord is going to direct you in your prayers to begin to start to intercede for what I would call the second phase. So I just appreciate that stay submerged in that intercession, stay submerged and engaged in that ministry, because the Holy Spirit is manifesting himself on you. He's going to be seen on you, and you're going to recognize it. I see you guys literally praying people out of trouble every time. It's like these individuals are like wrapped in barbed wire, one after another after another. And you guys have got the spiritual clippers, and I see you just clipping them one at a time and just setting them free, because there's a steadfastness that the Lord is instructing and taught you in over a period of years, how it's just step by step, you know, just procedure, where I can break off these bonds, the bondages over people's lives, because a deliverance ministry is going to really manifest itself through you guys' intercessions and through your hands. And you're going to pray for the sick. There's going to be, I see gatherings where people are literally lined up, and I see you praying over them one after another after another after another. And you're going to realize that all this training, all the things, all the fire that you had walked through has led you up to a point in time for a release of this fulfillment of the destination, and the destiny that God has placed over your lives is going to start to come to pass. And you both are going to be really encouraged, because it is what you've been doing, but it's also what you've been waiting for, because you recognize and realize that, and maybe you even said this, we need a miracle move of God in this country. We need a move of God that's so profound that will just literally cause people to stop what they're doing and pay attention, that the Lord himself is in their midst. I just want to encourage you in that ministry in Jesus' name. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This is not my Bible. Just didn't feel right. It's got too much Pentecostalism on it. I think I'll start gyrating if I get too close to it. Amen. God is so good. You were doing some good stuff tonight. You're not gonna get a leg up on me on the golf course, by the way. I know you're thinking that's gonna happen. Amen. Amen. I'll correct you next time. I'm gonna let you talk yourself into weakness. Amen. God is so good. No, I won't do that. I want to tell you something. I just would appreciate everybody coming tonight. So I'll stand to our feet. Does anybody else have anything else? I don't want to. Yes.
They won't follow you. You're going to wake up with a question.
Thank you. Amen. Yes. Yeah.
So you usually pray for healing at the end?
Okay, so what I am going to ask you is, if I'm assuming everyone can hear God, but if you cannot hear God for yourself and you would like to hear God, if that's okay, we'd like to pray for you. And I feel like there's a few people who need a lens change, that you always see the cup half empty, and the Lord is always overfilling our cups.
You stay right there, you can't move. So if that's you, then you make sure you hit her before you leave, okay? I was about to say, brother, I just see the Lord all over you. You've got such a great ministry and restoration. Hey, are you married? Okay. Amen. Well, guess what? Praise the Lord. I think you have someone being prepared for you. That's all I'm going to say. Amen. So just be encouraged. Amen. I don't know what you put before the Lord, but I just heard that so clearly as can be. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
I tried to resist it, but I believe this same brother over here, that the Lord, I almost want to say attention, because the Lord has you in his ranks, and you don't realize the extent to which he has you in his ranks. And you are the one that he's going to use to develop, to be able to speak to the others and tell them what to do and where to go and when to do it. I see there is a gift, I don't know how much you know about what, but there's a gift called the gift of discerning of spirits. One of the most valuable gifts, as far as I'm concerned, in the church today. And the Lord is giving you that gift of discerning of spirits so that you're going to be able to see the enemy ahead of time. And you're going to be able to see what's going on in a person's life, even in their heart at times, ahead of time. And you're going to be able to speak the word in season to them. You're going to be able to speak that word that releases them and sets them free. You're going to be able to speak that word that causes people to fall into line. And when I see you, I've never seen this before. When I see you in a regimented fashion. I see you in line with others. And I see hundreds and thousands of other people in line. And you're a part of it. And you're up at the front, and you're leading, and you're directing, and you're giving orders at times, and you're giving commands at the time, and the Spirit of the Lord is working through you in a mighty way. The Spirit of the Lord is on you even now, and the Spirit of the Lord is removing the dross, that thing that concerns you. In fact, I'm going to say those several things that concern you, the Lord is dealing with them. They're not to be a burden to you. They're to be a source of expression, because the Lord is going to speak to you and move through you, and you're going to be set free. And those things and those burdens and those things that have had a hold on you shall no longer be the problem, and you shall be set free, and you shall rejoice in doing the very thing that the Lord would have you to do. You shall not be held back in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And Penny, I wanted to speak to you. Thank you so much for your ministry tonight, and it's been such a blessing. Reminded me of some things I hadn't thought about in a long time, and I got to sing some songs I know. So thank you so much for that. But I want to say something that to me is very unusual, Penny. Penny, I'm mad. I am mad. I'm mad at what the enemy has done to you and has done with you at times in the past. The enemy has turned you every way but loose at times. The enemy has really been particularly unkind to you. The enemy has took a lot of his time for some reason to attack you and to come against you, and it makes me mad. It upsets me. It upsets me in the spirit. You know, I didn't think of this. I didn't see this before I came into this room tonight. But there is something that you have been praying about for many, many years. There's something that you have been wanting to see, something that you have wanting to take place. And the Lord would say unto you that you have not been held back for my ultimate purpose one iota. The enemy has done everything that he can, but boy, have I fooled him, because you're going to shine. You're going to shine. And I see the woman of God. I see the woman of God. You've always wanted to be a woman of God. You've always had a heart for God. Even when you were a child, you had a heart for God. And that woman is going to shine. I want you to know, Penny, that woman is not late. That woman is right on time. And the Lord is going to do some things in you. And we give the enemy notice at this time. It's over with. That's enough. I'm not speaking to you. I'm speaking to the enemy. What the enemy has done and what the enemy has tried to do is enough. And it's over with. And it's gone. And we will not allow it. You're covered in the blood of Jesus. And the Lord is pleased with you. And it's exciting to see what the Lord is going to do through you and what he's going to carry you to from here, O woman of God. And hear me when I say that. O woman of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 And one other thing, Todd, as I was sitting here tonight and looked at you, and I feel like the Lord was saying that he has imparted to you and is developing in you further a gift of faith that we've not known a gift of faith in the United States as the Lord is developing in you. And he's going to speak to you in such a way that you're going to speak and see those signs and wonders happen and those special miracles happen. And you're going to know by faith that these things are going to happen. And for some reason, as I say that, I see universities, universities. And I see you speaking the word of faith over these universities and things changing. I see you speaking the word of faith that shall be over nations, that shall be over armies, that shall be over antagonists. I see you speaking the word of faith and things changing. Todd, I see as you speak the word of the faith, the word of faith, the fire shall begin to burn. And I believe the Lord is saying, Todd, take up this challenge. Take up this challenge in the name of Jesus. Speak that word and see the fire burn. See the fire burn. And I believe the Lord would even say, as I speak this to you, yes, it is double. Yes, it is two things. The fire of the Lord shall burn bright for his people. The fire of the Lord shall make a way for his people. The fire of the Lord shall be something that his people shall be able to follow on to victory. And the fire of the Lord shall be just the opposite for the enemy. The enemy will not be able to stand before the fire of the Lord. And the fire of the Lord shall burn quickly. And the fire of the Lord shall burn brightly. And the fire of the Lord shall burn surely. And the enemies of the Lord shall not be able to escape the effect of the fire of the Lord. O man of God, accept this in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, the gift of faith, I speak that over you right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask your protection, and I believe your protection over him and over his family. Continue to do a mighty work in their life. And Lord, Todd, I see the angels of the Lord. I know you've seen this before, but I see the angels of the Lord around you. And I see the angels of the Lord, Todd, going before you. Todd, I see the angels of the Lord going before and speaking the word that shall prepare the way and shall prepare the people and shall prepare the place. And surely the fire of the Lord shall burn brightly in you. The fire of the Lord shall burn in your loins, Todd. The fire of the Lord shall burn, and you shall open your mouth and speak things you've never prepared to speak. You shall speak the word of the Lord, and the word of the Lord shall go forth, and things shall happen. Things shall be raised up in a day, Todd. They shall be raised up in a day, and things that are evil and things that are against the Lord shall come down in a day, saith the Lord. No longer shall God's people have to wander around in seeming darkness. No longer shall God's people have to say, when, Lord, when is it going to happen? For surely, says the Lord, I shall use you as well as I shall use others, and those things will not take place. Those things will not stand that are against the things of the Lord. And the Lord is saying, I love my people. I love those ones that have gone forth as they have many times and have spoken my word and have taken my word to the lost and have taken healing to those that need it. I love my people, and don't let anyone doubt that I love my people, and I am doing a mighty work. And in these next months ahead, you shall see this mighty work. You shall see things poured from on high. You shall see the things that have come from below diminish. You shall see the things that have come from below. You shall see the things that the enemy has done. They shall be overcome. You shall not be overcome. My word shall not be overcome. Righteousness shall not be overcome. But I shall move, saith the Lord. I shall move in a fury, Lord. I shall move in a fury because I am not happy with some of the things that I see. And it's been long enough, and I am coming to take over, says the Lord.